Book of Judges, chapter 6, and we made reference just to part of this morning in the service, but want to take this step further tonight. Judges chapter 6, we're going to read here beginning with verse number 1. Where are the miracles? What's happened? What's happened? I've been around Pentecost myself for a long time, and I have witnessed God's mighty hand. I have witnessed it. I've seen the Lord move. I've witnessed God answering prayer and miracles being performed, but not nearly as often as I would like to see. Amen. And I was just looking into so many different scriptures related to this subject, again, confirming the fact that how important it is that in these last days that in the church that there be supernatural acts of God among us. Amen. We ought to expect and believe that the Lord is going to work and move. This is Judges chapter 6 and verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. You notice this was the cycle that Israel went through several different times, that they would reject the Lord, be disobedient to the Lord, then they would fall into some captivity, being under the dominion of some wicked and evil pagan nation. That's what happened to them here in this text. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. So it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents. They came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And there you see it again, that they, just as they did in Egypt, under the harsh taskmasters, they begin to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord heard their cries and sent Moses and brought deliverance to the children of Israel. And here again, in this impoverished condition that they're in, they begin to cry out to the Lord. Verse 7, it says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was at Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? You can see in this text that Gideon's, his understanding of miracles was always in the past tense. It was not something that he personally experienced. He was of a generation that didn't experience it. But he heard the stories of it. He'd heard the accounts of his fathers and the generation that preceded him. He knew that God had moved, and that's why he said, why is it that God has allowed us to be under the hand of the Midianites? And where are the miracles? So I think that we can relate to the way that Gideon felt. A lot that are a part of this generation, at least those that are younger than those who said that they were have been saved 50 years or more, all those that fall below that category, if you've just been saved a short time or just a few years, there is a very good chance that you have not witnessed a miracle. It is possible that you have been in a Pentecostal church and maybe a Pentecostal family, and you have not. All that you know about miracles are what you have heard about. It's all the past tense, what used to be, what has happened in the past. And really what has, we've come to the place that we are just, we've shifted into this, well, we're just going to hold on till Jesus comes. We're going to do the best we can. And we don't really have a whole lot of hope for anything to change or for there to be supernatural things. Certainly not the supernatural hand of God that we talked about this morning. His mighty hand working in our behalf. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul, he talked about this very generation. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 5, he said, this generation would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof. And what the Apostle Paul is describing here is that your profession and all that you believe, it's all negated by the fact that you have not experienced or witnessed the power of God. Amen. And for those of you who may not think that you've really experienced a miracle, if you're saved, if you're truly born again, you've had at least one miracle. And that the Lord reached down and saved you and pulled you up out of sin and has preserved you, your life, and has given you eternal life. But the Apostle Paul was talking about a religion of a form, a profession, just an empty shell, but no life, no power. No reality to that profession. And the thing that confirms the word of God, and you'll see this as we go through several scriptures here tonight, is that God confirms his word by his mighty hand. He doesn't just say, I will do this, or I can do this, or I will work in this situation. It is not just empty words that we read in the word of God. Whenever he says, I will, there is power to back that up. There is life to bring that form to a reality. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. Amen. Now that verse describes a God of unlimited power. A God that can do all things. And we put the Lord in a certain box and say, the Lord works in these situations, but there's some things that are much too difficult and too, you know, it just can't be done. I was trying this morning in the youth class to challenge the young people that there could be something happen among that generation. That classroom that was just 7 or 8 that was in there this morning, That could easily turn into 30 or 40 or more. And I believe it's the Lord's will that there be a fire and a life in God beginning to work supernaturally on behalf of those that are in that particular age. God wants to work. He wants to show his mighty hand. But where are the miracles? Where are the miracles? You have a hunger, a desire to see God working and moving in your behalf. That's what Gideon is describing, we have this common profession with Gideon. A generation that is losing the reality of the move of God. A whole generation that when we talk about miracles, it's only in the past tense. It's only in what we have heard about. And it's not so much a reality to us other than what we have heard that God has done. So miracles are never to be just spoken of in the past tense. Amen. But in present tense, a God that is working. We know the Bible says that His word is eternal. It will never change. Jesus Himself, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And so, for this present age, we serve a God who is ready to work. He is ready to take action. He is ready to perform miracles. He's not, you know, it's not the God of 50 years ago. I really do appreciate our heritage and what we hear about the past and how God has worked in the past. And I don't want to in any way discredit what God has done, but I believe that this is a generation, just like Gideon's generation, that is saying, where are the miracles? We're not seeing the mighty hand of God like a previous generation has seen. Why? And what can we do to enter into that power and enter into that blessing of the Lord in our behalf? Amen. Well, we need to take note of the association between the Word of God and the promises of God and His miracle working power. Amen. His Word. Amen. Jeremiah 1 and chapter 12, or verse 12, it says, then the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. You may have heard it this way, because the word there, hasten, means that God is, His eyes are watching for an opportunity to work. He watches over His word. He hastens over His word to perform it. He's looking for a people that know His word, who know His promises, and they have entered into the word of the Lord to such a degree that they are entering into the promises of God. And it is not just what God is saying I will do, but they are seeing God do. They have got the connection between the word of the Lord and the fulfillment of what He has promised that He will do. Not only is that important, but also the miracles of God are associated with the name of the Lord being glorified. Amen. Miracles are associated with God's name being glorified. Amen. We are not to ask for power and signs and wonders so that we get some credit with people necessarily for our own advantage. But we are, just like He watches over His word to perform it, we also see the connection between the fact that whenever God works supernaturally, His name is glorified. His name is proclaimed in the earth. And the door is open for the gospel to go forth even through the manifestation of miracles. Amen. Glory to God. Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The thing that gave the early church its credibility was that they preached the word of the Lord. They preached the truth of the word of the Lord, and the Lord was working with them. There is this closeness of His presence and His power that was being manifested as they proclaimed the truth and they believed the truth. Then they begin to see God working at the same time to bring what was being preached to reality. Amen. You know, you can have, and oftentimes in church, you can have such a liturgy and a dryness. By the way, isn't it interesting how quick things dry up? You remember about 3 weeks ago, we were talking about, we have had so much rain, and you know, the water tables are so high, and so much water, talking about water that was in our duct system and water that was standing like a lake out here on the parking lot. And now it's been, you know, a few little rains, but not that much rain in the last 3 weeks or so. And things are already dry. The grass is turning brown. And everything is being affected by the fact that's how quick that things can get dry. That's just how quickly that it takes place in your relationship with the Lord. And in the body of Christ, in the church, that's just how quickly that a revival can be turned around into just dry liturgy. No life, no reality, no power. That's why it is just so important that we stay in the Word and we stay in fellowship with the Lord, and that we're walking in the Spirit and living in the blessing of the Lord and keeping that communication with the Lord open. Because if not, it happens so quickly that in a church claiming to be Pentecostal and having the promises of God and the gifts of the Spirit and the move of the Spirit of God, it's quite possible for you to get dry in your walk with the Lord. And that must not happen. It must not happen. But God, in the Scripture, you'll notice where the Lord, whenever He wanted to work to meet the needs of on a great scale, He began that miraculous work on a small scale. Amen. Usually it was just in the life of someone that He was wanting to use in great ways that He manifested His miraculous power in their life to prove His promise to them, or to prove, see, I can work in this small thing, and so I can work in even greater things for you if you'll just trust Me for the small things. Amen. Moses taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He's on the backside of the desert. He's been there for 40 years. He sees this bush that is burning and not being consumed. He's drawn to it, and the voice of the Lord speaks from that bush and declaring to Moses what He was going to do, that He'd heard the cry of the children of Israel and in their circumstance of their bondage, and that He wanted to use Moses to be the deliverer for all of Israel. And Moses immediately, he just backs up. You can almost see his reluctance when you read through the text. You can see Moses saying, but Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't have the power to do that. I can't accomplish that. There's just no way that I can do that. First, He manifested the miracle of the burning bush. Now, a bush burning in the desert was not necessarily a miracle. No doubt in 40 years, He'd seen that happen before in a dry season. But the miracle was that this bush was burning and not being consumed, and that He was drawn to it, and a voice was speaking out of it. It was a miraculous thing that was for His own personal benefit. And Moses is still reluctant and backing up from the call of God that was upon him. And so then he says that they won't follow Me. They won't listen to what I have to say. And the Lord said, what's that you got in your hand? It's a rod. Throw it down. He threw it down and it turned into a serpent. He jumped and ran from that. Then the Lord said, go and pick it up again. He picked it up and it turned back into a rod. You see, these were personal miracles for Moses' benefit, to let him know that what He was calling him to do, He was going to be with him and He was going to supernaturally work in his behalf. He's still reluctant. And God says, okay, put your hand into your cloak. He puts his hand in his cloak. He pulls it out and his hand is white with leprosy. And no doubt he's horrified by this disease now that's stricken his hand. And the Lord said, put it back into your cloak. He does. And when he brings it out this time, he's clean and clear and healed. Another personal miracle for Moses that God did for him. He did the burning bush experience. He turned that rod into a serpent and back into a rod. And then he afflicted his hand with leprosy and then he healed it. These were personal miracles for Moses to confirm that God was going to work supernaturally for him. That God was going to go with him. That's why that he had the boldness to walk right into Pharaoh's chamber. That's the reason why that he had the boldness to speak up and to say, let my people go, is because he had witnessed the supernatural hand of God in his personal life. Hallelujah. That was the thing that gave David the courage to go up against Goliath. Because in his personal time with the Lord, taking care of those few sheep of his father Jesse's, that a lion had come up against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was able to take care of that lion and to destroy the lion. And then a bear came, and all this was just a personal thing between him and the Lord and his personal life. All of it was a preparation for David to prepare him to use him in wonderful, miraculous ways. Hallelujah. God is a God who wants to work miraculously in behalf of his people, in behalf of the church, and in a greater way than you can even imagine, in affecting our community and our region and the entire world. Amen. Amen. If you could catch a vision for wonderful things that God wants to do in your behalf. I told the youth this morning the story of a young boy, 15 years old, who he decided that he wanted to do something. He didn't want to just be like, the culture is among young people today, that it's just kind of have a good time. And the mindset is, I'm a youth, and so I just need to have a good time and not have bear any responsibility. But he picked up a magazine as he came in from school one day that was just laying on the table. And as he read through the magazine, he read about groups of people. I believe it was in Kenya or one of the African nations. Where there was a whole region that their water supply was depleted, and that they were in such condition that and their bodies were so dehydrated and emaciated that when they cried there weren't even tears. And that so affected that young teenage boy that he began to think, what could I possibly do about this? What could I do? He began to pray. He's a Christian young man, asking the Lord to help him to know, what could I do to help this? And so he just decided, I don't know what I can do, but I'm going to try. And so he started just in his church, and he started a little organization called No Tears. No Tears. And he just asked. I think he would stand at the front. I'm sure he got the pastor's approval to do this. He would just stand at the back of the church as people were coming in and said, I'm just trying to raise some money to try to help provide water for these people in this African country. Things begin to take place. And he caught the attention of people, not only in the church, but the word spread into the community, and businesses began to take it to heart. He literally that summer raised thousands of dollars, and by the end of that summer, the money that he had raised, it drilled 4 wells, and they estimated that he saved 20,000 lives in one summer. Amen. Let me tell you, God is just looking for people who have a vision to believe that God can do great and mighty things. But it starts with personal miracles. It starts with your personal walk with God, your personal relationship with the Lord. God working in your life to show you that he can work in your behalf. That's what he did for Gideon. Gideon is saying, I'm not a mighty man of valor. I don't have any strength. And he goes on to identify all of his weaknesses. I am the least in my father's house. My father's house is of the smallest tribe. I am the least likely person in all of the nation of Israel. I can't do this. And you're calling me a mighty man of valor. And then the Bible says that Gideon fixed a meal for the angel that was there, the angel of the Lord. He prepared a sacrifice. And poured the broth of it over a rock. And the Bible says that fire came up out of that rock and consumed that sacrifice. And Gideon, no doubt, he sees this supernatural hand of God. This is a miracle. A miracle. It was a personal thing between him and the Lord. And God just proved to him, I can do it in your little sacrifice that you've offered here. I can show myself strong in your behalf in this situation that you are in. A little bit later on, he's still a little weak in his faith. And so he puts out a fleece and he's wanting to see, wanting God to prove himself. And first of all, by this dry fleece, and then the wet fleece, and he wants to prove. And each time, the Lord supernaturally works in that situation. These small personal miracles were preparing him for just a few days later, when the Lord was going to use him to lead a small band of people up against their enemies. And God was going to supernaturally put their enemy to flight and destroy the enemies that was beating down the nation of Israel. And the Midianites were going to be put to flight. And God was going to do it. And Gideon was just having these personal miracles before he saw this greater miracle on a grander scale. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the way that God works. He confirms His word. He does miracles to prove and to confirm that He is at work. It's true in the life of Jesus. The primary mission of Jesus Christ was the proclaiming of the kingdom of God and the bringing hope to a world that needed salvation. That was the miracle for all those that were living and all those who had lived before and looked to that day by faith, and all those that were going to be following after, including you and me. Amen. That was the great miracle, the miracle of salvation and the kingdom of God in this world. But when Jesus came and began his ministry, it was confirmed by miracles. John chapter 2 and verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This was the thing that caused his disciples to take what Jesus had said and to believe it as a reality, because they saw the power of God. The miracles, the word of God was confirmed by the miraculous. Amen. The word of God was confirmed by the miraculous. And that's exactly how that God works and moves. We know the word of God. Many of us have read it. We've studied the Bible. We've heard it taught. We've heard it preached all of our lives. We know enough of God's word that we need to understand that God wants to, He wants to confirm His word with signs following, with miracles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even the religious leaders, they knew that what Jesus was teaching was the truth. And the thing that convinced them was the miraculous. John 3 and verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night. This was Nicodemus, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. How do you know that? We know you're a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Amen. They heard his teaching. They knew that he was a teacher of the truth, because they were witnessing the miraculous power of God. Even those that would oppose him and were resisting the gospel and the kingdom of God, they could not deny his teaching, because it was being confirmed by miracles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The same thing was true of the chief priest, the Pharisees. John 11, 47, then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. They didn't want to accept him. They didn't want to believe in him, but they knew that the masses of people that were following him, they were hearing his word and they were seeing it being performed before their very eyes. The miraculous was taking place. Hallelujah. Not only was it in the ministry of Jesus, but it was also for those disciples. You know, and it's, as I've been running references on this, I'm not even going through very many compared to those that are in the Word of God related to miracles. I encourage you to go through this and do a study on this, because it's just amazing how many places in the Word of God that the Word of God is to be confirmed by miracles, signs, supernatural acts of the Lord. And isn't it interesting that there's a whole groups of people in New Testament Christianity who say that these miracles are of the past, They are not for now. They are for that time. They were for the disciples. They were for the ministry of Jesus. But they are not for this age that you and I are living in right now. It was for Jesus's ministry. It was for the disciples. And it was for all those that were going to come after them to experience the mighty hand of God. And anywhere that the word of God was being preached and proclaimed, there was the potential for God to show up and to prove himself. Amen. Glory to God. The disciples, their ministry became validated because of the fact that there were miracles and wonders that were taking place in their ministry. Mark 16:20, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. That was the disciples who were preaching and declaring the word of the Lord. Acts 5:12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They preached the word, they proclaimed and taught the truth of the scripture, and then God moved. It was in that order. Amen. That order. Amen. If you need a miracle in your life, then you need to get in the Word of God. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to look and search for the promises that are related to your need and to your situation that you are in. And you need to begin to search the scriptures and believe God. If God has spoken it, it's his word. It's the covenant of God. And we can stand upon it because we know that God will perform that which he has spoken. He watches over his word to perform it. Amen. He is looking for people who will take him at what he has said and believe it by faith and see God working supernaturally. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. This is the Apostle Paul saying this. I did not come to you only with a message. I didn't come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Amen. Glory to God. So we should expect that with the proclamation of the word of God, with the claiming of the truths of God's word, that the power of God should accompany it. Amen. We should see the hand of the Lord working in our behalf. Hallelujah. Not only the disciples, but even those like Philip, who was really technically just a deacon. He was a deacon and not necessarily an ordained person in the ministry, but Philip was a deacon, and the Bible says that he was proclaiming the truth. This is in Acts 8. He was preaching to Samaria, and God performed signs and wonders and miracles among the people. And the Bible says that the whole city was filled with joy as a result of that. And then the Spirit of the Lord led him to Gaza, to that desert place, and there he had this supernatural, divinely arranged encounter with that Ethiopian eunuch who was there and was reading the scripture but needed someone to explain the word of the Lord to him. He explained the word to him. Then they came upon a pool of water, and he took him down into the water and baptized. And the Bible says that immediately the Ethiopian eunuch, he came up rejoicing out of the water, but he didn't see Philip anymore because God had picked him up and moved him to another location. Amen. Amen. He had declared to him the word of the Lord, the supernatural hand of God, and what God could do in his behalf. This Ethiopian eunuch believed upon the Lord and was saved. And of course, tradition says that he was mightily used to take the gospel to some of the African nations. But Philip was just picked up and taken miles and miles away. It was a supernatural miracle. Amen. Amen. You can go through so many places in the word of the Lord. I think I've given to you tonight enough scripture to confirm the fact that God, He wants to confirm his word with signs following. And he wants our profession to be more than just words, empty words, but that our profession would also be accompanied by the supernatural hand of God, the power of God God working in our midst. You know, that's one of the purposes for altar services at the close of our meetings. Because you hear the word of God and there needs to be a response. There needs to be a response. So when we come to the altar, it's not just a time to bury your head and say a few prayers. It's time to say, Lord, what are you talking to me about tonight? What are you saying to us tonight? Lord, I want your word to be rooted in my spirit, in my heart. I want to be changed by the things that I've heard tonight. Amen. Make it real in my life. Let it be something, Lord, that affects me and changes me. And so you come. It's really like when you come to the altar, it's like you're sealing the deal. Amen. Amen. That is, you're confirming in the altar at a time when you enter in the presence of the Lord and around the altars in prayer and worship in the presence of the Lord that you're believing, God, what you have spoken tonight, I believe you will do it. I believe you will do it. And I just encourage you, you may be doubting God on some level as to what he wants to do in a grand way, a wonderful and a mighty way. And if you are, then ask the Lord to begin to work in your own personal relationship, just like we gave you the examples of the different ones, Moses and Gideon and David, and there are other examples of those that God gave to them personal miracles to prove to them that he would be with them to do bigger and greater things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about miracles that God can do this week for you. Amen. That God might want to perform it on your behalf in these coming days in some smaller way to prove himself to you so that the thing that God, he's put upon your heart for something that may be even bigger, more wonderful and mighty things that he wants to do, he will confirm it by personal miracles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what I'm describing. You know what I'm talking about. Many of you have had the Lord work and provide for you and work on your behalf many, many times. I've had times when I was sick. I was really too sick to come to church, too sick to come to the platform, the pulpit. I felt like I didn't need to be there, just sick. And I can remember a time not too long ago. I was struggling physically. And after the service, I totally forgot about it. It was like I came and after the service, the Lord just took care of that. It was all taken care of in the presence of the Lord. And God wants to work in your behalf. There may be some things that they may just be small things, but when he proves himself in those small areas, it's because he wants to encourage you and strengthen your faith for greater things, greater miracles that he wants to do in your behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are the miracles? Well, they're available. His word is just the same as it's ever been. It's the truth. You can build your life upon it and you can expect that God will work. Hallelujah. God will work on your behalf. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you are a God that can work in every need, in every situation. And Lord, I just pray for those that are struggling, those that are weak in their faith, Lord, that you would help them tonight. And Lord, tonight and in the days that are coming, Lord, that you would show yourself strong in their behalf in a personal way. And encourage us, Lord, as you move in some of the things that maybe seem smaller, but Lord, personal miracles that will help us to see that you are going to be with us no matter what we are called to do or what we attempt to do for the kingdom's sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. For those of you standing right now and you want to step out as an act of faith to believe God for something supernatural in your life, I just want to ask you to do that right now. Whatever it is, it's between you and the Lord. You just know that you need the mighty hand of God. You need the Lord to change something or to work in some situation. to work out the details or to give confirmation or whatever it is that seems to be weighing heavily upon your mind. Would you come now and come to this altar as a step of your faith, asking God to lead the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you do that? Praise the name of the Lord. Asking the Lord to show Himself strong on your behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank You, Lord. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If everybody could find an altar, make an altar. Let's gather in here tonight. Let's call upon the Lord. Whatever your need, whatever God is working, however He's working in your behalf, why don't you come and let the Lord help you tonight? Hallelujah. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not a Christian, great things are in store for that person that's willing to put their trust in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.